just a few minutes, because I have somewhere that I want God to go. You say, Pastor, we've been there. Yeah, we've been there, but we just touched the surface of what God wants to do. Can I tell you, God wants to heal somebody. God wants to restore some things. God wants to, if you could just somehow feel, amen, the urgency, the heaviness that I feel and yet hope at the same time. I feel a spiritual heaviness, but yet I feel hope. And I feel light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, to a desperate situation. In the book of Psalms, chapter 31, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 31, reading at verse 1, I'm going to read the first 12 verses there. And I'm going to change over to Psalms 51. Psalms 31 and 1 says this, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength." He said, the trap they've laid for me, and the net and the snare that they put for me, he said, God, in private, would you save me from that net? He said, you're my rock, my fortress, you're my strength. Verse 5, "Into Thine hand I commit my spirit." God, I give up, here it is. "Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in Thee, O Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble, for Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." He said, seems like now all I have is grief and sighing. What's the use? My strength faileth because of my iniquity, because of this place I'm in, if you will. He said, even my bones are consumed. Verse 11, "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me." Verse 12, "I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." I'm forgotten. Think back, Sister Roden, Sister Shirley Conger, Sister Fran Harvey. These were pillars of our church. Pillars of the foundation of what we built this thing on. And yet, days go by without even thinking of them sometimes. They're gone. They're forgotten. Occasionally we open the drawer in the snack shack and we see the picture walk in. We see the picture frame there and it reminds us and it triggers a little emotion in us. But like a dead man. They just have a tendency. My grandfather, I loved him dearly. But it just seems so long ago. Like a dead man, forgotten. Out of mind. I am forgotten as a dead man. Out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I am like a broken vessel. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 51, verse 7. Psalms 51 and verse 7, and we're going to read 7 through 12. Psalms 51 and verse 7 says this, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness." Everybody say, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Everybody say, "That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Verse 9 says, "Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Verse 17 simply says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not rejoice or despise." Excuse me. Verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." I want to go back to verse 8, if you will. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." I'm going to preach for the next few minutes from this thought, dancing on broken bones. Dancing on broken bones. God of heaven, right now, I ask you to touch and eat each and every one of us. Touch every vessel in this place, God. Every saint, every child of God. In the name of Jesus, I feel your anointing. I want you to anoint my lips. Anoint this vessel, O God, that I might pour out of me, God, the word that you've given me. In the name of Jesus, touch each and every individual, every vessel, wherever they are in their walk with God. Right here, right now, anoint each and every saint. Open their eyes, their ears, their mind, their heart, that they might see, hear, and understand and accept the word of God. Preach to us. Talk to us in Jesus' name, that your will might be done. God, minister in this place. Minister in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Come on. Come on, for what he's done already in this place. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. He's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. He's worthy. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Dancing on broken bones. There are 7 types of vessels in the Bible that represent 7 types of people. You look in the book of Leviticus, chapter 6 and verse 28, and I'll just give you each type of vessel rather than read each and every one. But there are 7 types of vessels that represent 7 types of people in the Scripture. Number 1, in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 28, the Bible calls them earthen vessels. In Romans chapter number 9, verse 21, you can put that one on the screen if you will, we find that the Bible talks about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. I want to read this one for that first part right here. "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel of honor and another to dishonor?" So we find in Romans chapter 9, verse 21, he calls them vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. The next one in verse 22, he calls them vessels of wrath. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, the Bible calls them chosen vessels. In Romans 9 and 23, the Bible calls them vessels of mercy. Revelations 2 and verse 27, the Bible calls them broken vessels. Broken vessels. In our text in Psalms 31, we find here that David is in a low place, in a low spot in his life. We've all been there. Every one of us. It's useless for you to sit and act like you've never been there when some of us have been with you for a long time. And you know when I've had a low spot in my life, and I know when you've had a low spot. What is that? Love you a long time now? Yeah, we've been together a long time now. Ancient Chinese proverb. Forgive me if you're Chinese. We find in our text here that David is at a low place in his life because of sin. As he wrote this Psalms, he got down to verse 12 and he simply said this, I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Revelation 2 calls it a broken vessel. Psalms 31 calls it a broken vessel. He said, I am like a broken vessel. You see, these might be David's writings, but there were times in my life that I could have taken pen in hand and begin to write my story. Oh, you may as well be real with me this afternoon. I'm not going to be long, so you're going to have to stay with me because I've seen what God has already done, and I want to get back to where God can finish what He started. There were times in my life when I could have penned the story, I am like a dead man. I'm out of mind. I'm forgotten. God, you seem to have forgotten. Have forgotten where I am. I can't feel you like I used to. And I could have written the story. God, I'm like a broken vessel because I can't seem to hold in what you've given me. You may as well admit that you too could write that very same story. There were times when you were flying high, baby. You had it all going on. Everything around you was clicking, and you felt like you was it. And because of something in your life, it caused, whether of your own doing or someone else's, it caused your vessel to be broken. And seemingly everything began to leak out of you. And you could have grabbed up your journal, if you will, your daily diary, and you could have written, today has been a rough day. I feel like I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not where I used to be, and I don't feel as close to God as I used to feel, and something has happened because of someone else, or my own undoing, or circumstances that I had no control over. People! My vessel has been knocked off the shelf, if you will. Something has broken and cracked my vessel. And now everything that I once held dear is lost to me. I tried to find Him and He's nowhere to be found. I tried to feel Him. I can no longer feel Him. I'm no longer as close. I'm like a dead man in a dead situation. I don't even know if you're here, God. I don't even know if you can hear me. Hello, 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 hello. And you pray empty prayer. Oh. You pray empty prayers. And you kneel. And then you say, what's the use? Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, I can't feel God like I used to. I'm not where I used to be. My destiny has gone on without me. What I dreamed about, the plans I made, the goals I had. Honey, if I'm not preaching to you, then you pray for me because I got somewhere I've got to go with this today. And if you feel like I'm talking, oh, this ain't even up to your level and where you're at, or this is over your head, then you hang on, we'll be back in a little while. But allow me for a little bit, because I want to preach in the Holy Ghost. When you get down in there sometimes and you open up the cookie jar, like I said, it makes a little noise, and all of a sudden, to get what you want to get, you're going to have to reach. And honey, I'm reaching today because there's something I want God to do. And you would have to pin in your journal or now into them little recorders and voice recorders. And you'd have to somehow, I don't know, bad hair day. Everybody's always picking on me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. If we're not careful, we get into a spiritual pity party. Woe is me. Because we can no longer. And then, if we're not careful, we want to get bitter. We want to get angry. I want to get sharp with God and sharp with the man of God and short with the people around you. Short with your spouse and short with your friends and your family and your kids. And you want to snap and you want to bite because you can't hold what it is God intended for you. You see, a vessel that is cracked and broken is no longer any good. And it can't be used for what it's designed for. Because if you filled it with water or oil or any precious ointment, whatever it is that you put in it eventually will find its way to that place that's broken in your life and will seep, slowly drain out of you. You may look good. I had this container and it's been very cold lately, and I found in Sister Johnson's stuff this beautiful big two-gallon pitcher. It was a mammoth looking thing, and it was perfect because it gets so cold outside. My water for my dogs freeze, and I have to take hot water, and I fill it full, and I carry hot water out there, and I pour it in their ice buckets. And I give them water. And they got a drink. Wow, the drinking's good, because before long it'll freeze up again. Well, I wish we could learn that concept to drink while the drinking's good. When you get in the presence of the Lord, God intends you not just to splash around in it, but to partake of it, to drink of it, to get your fill of it, to get nourishment, to get a spiritual IV, if you would. Because sometimes, God help us, we're spiritually dehydrated. That's the only way you can come into the presence of the Lord, of the house of God, and just clap your hand a few times, go back to your seat, deader than a doornail, unmoved by God. When you sit in the presence of the Lord, you're so dehydrated, they can't even get a spiritual needle in your vein. The preacher gets up and he preaches his heart and he yells and he's passionate and with conviction, and we try to put the spiritual needle of the word and get it in your veins, but you are so spiritually dehydrated, you just lay back and let everybody else do the work, and those veins, they want to roll, if you would. They want to kind of constantly evade the needle, the spiritual needle of what God's trying to do. That old vein will go one way or the other. And you've seen that doctor, he thumps on that arm a while and he says, I can't get a vein, let's try somewhere else. So we preach over here a while, and then the preacher says, that ain't working, I'm going to go over here a while. And then we hit it over here a while, and we think, that's not moved, they still hadn't got it, they're not getting the IV that God intends them to get, that the preacher is desperate for them to get, and that they so desperately need. And we try over here, well, that didn't work either, so we put a rubber band around it and pop it and strap it and squish your fist, if you will, and we pump your fist, if you will, and then we try and we take it to Roger and we back out again and we put it here and we take it out and the preacher goes here with it and then he backs up and he... You go home with everything God intended for you to get still hanging up in the IV bags. And you are untouched, unfilled, unnourished, unhydrated. You gotta understand, if I had time, I would go into it. Dehydration at just 3%. It causes certain diseases to come in to the body. It allows, it opens up doors. You feel weak, you're fatigued, your electrolytes aren't working. When it gets to just a simple, simple percentage of your body, see, everything is mostly made up of water. The brain, the vital organs, they are of a great percent water. And what happens is when it gets low, when it gets dry, the body starts malfunctioning. The body starts shutting down. Spiritually, Bible says in the scripture, we are many members making up one body. And if one area is weak and one area is fatigued and one area is not up to where it should be, eventually the body starts shutting down. You are affecting the whole body because you refuse to come and drink at the wells of living water. Oh, say what you will, baby, you're affecting the whole body. The eyes, they start to turn yellow. The mouth is dry. The lips, they lose their color. The eyelids, they lose their color. The vessel is not able to do what it was designed to do because something is wrong. There's a leak, there's a crack, if you would, and please don't be so carnal that when I say this, you snicker. Please be an adult and mature when I say that it has a crack in it. Please don't take it out of context. God help me. I don't want to see it. Don't let the enemy use you. Amen. I'm trying to bear my soul, but I know I'm preaching and using the touchy lingo a little bit, that what the world wants to call something else. God's saying, I'm here to do a work. And if you'll let me, I'll stop that leaking area. I'll stop that place in you that is broken, that is cracked, and everything I try to put in you runs out. That's how you get in here on a Sunday and you have a hallelujah hold down and a glory to God shouting meeting, and on Monday you're down in the dumps, you're depressed. You wake up grouchy as a bear, snapping and biting. What happened? Everything you got on Sunday run out overnight, baby. And so I got this container, and man, I was so excited. I found a way to beat having to go out there in the cold and hook up water hoses that was frozen and move the bucket with the hay and do all of that. I was so excited because of the potential there. And I grabbed that great big pitcher and I put it under that hot water, and man, I filled it up and I turned around to walk across the kitchen. And I heard something. And that beautiful pitcher that I was so excited and that I'd found and had such potential had a huge split and crack in the bottom, and everything I put in was running out and making a mess. And I look at some of you and you have potential. There is vast potential in you. The use for you is great in the kingdom of God, but because of your own undoing or sin or carnality of your own choosing or of the circumstances around you that are out of your control, something someone has done to you or happened in your life, you got a leak. And until God does something with you, everything that He pours into you will eventually run out of you. Every one of us can identify. Every one of us can personalize and internalize what I'm telling you this afternoon. You can write the same story I'm writing, because every one of us have been at a place in God and now we're down here, and we often wonder, how did we get here? How did it end like this? What happened in my life? And we feel like we're a dead man in a dead situation. We feel forgotten. We feel passed over. We feel like our time has passed by. We've missed that window of opportunity that God has for us. We watch as God blesses this one over here, and we watch as God blesses that one over there. We watch as this one, something great happens in their life, and I'm left in the dust. And the promise that they said was coming down the dusty road, it seems as if it's going the opposite direction. What God once promised to me, and what I seem to have been on my horizon seemingly as over and has been lost in the sunset, if you would. My moment, my window has closed. I've watched people go and grow in life, and you felt like you were stuck in time. You felt like you were stuck in place, and you felt like it had passed you by. Anybody ever felt that way? Anybody ever identified? Anybody ever felt like God forgotten who you are? Brother, you ever felt like God, did you even know where I'm at? God, do you even hear my prayers? And seemingly your moment has passed you by. And so, just like I did with this picture, I took the picture outside. You see, it was designed to hold water. It was designed to hold liquid, like giving nourishment. And now it's relegated to scooping dog food. And I now have found a secondary use for it. And it's not the perfect will of God, but, well, I'm still in the will of God. I'm still being used. But what I was intended to do in God, something happened of my own choosing or choice, or something outside of my control, circumstances of a different situation. They happened in my life, and it's left me where I am. And now what I could be and where I could be in God, I'm now over here relegated to just, well, I'm on the back burner spiritually, if you will, and now I'm just going to scoop dog food and carry dog food. And I'm left for just a Well, I'm still being used, and I'm over here. But you have settled for a second tier walk with God. You have settled to be just be used over here and scoop dog. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Maybe you're not. I have a feeling that you are, but maybe you're not. Maybe I'm preaching over here somewhere. We felt broken. We felt like we've been forgotten. Ever heard that saying, out of sight, out of mind? Out of sight, out of mind. Always knew that wasn't the right one for me, because when I got away from them, I forgot about them. But there was something about that little honey from Middleburg. When it was out of sight, I couldn't get her out of my mind. I couldn't get her from my thoughts. Drive down the road seeing visions. A wild, not bad hair day, but wild hair day. She had that hair that was wild going everywhere. Out of sight, out of mind. Psalms chapter 38, verse 8. Psalms 38. Verse 8 says this, I am feeble and sore broken, and I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. I've yelled, I've cried, I've called out to you. I'm feeble. I'm sore. I'm broken. Feel like what I once had is gone. I've yelled, I've cried, I'm weak. Weeping in the night, and yet no one can hear. Psalms chapter 10, verse 11 says this, he had said in his heart, God had forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see it. God, you've forgotten me. I'm sore. I'm broken. I've yelled. I've reasoned. Yet you don't hear. God hath forgotten me, he hideth his face. He will never see it. Service after service goes by, day after day in your walk with God. Along the way, you watch as others go off on the journey that God has for them, yet you still feel like you're plodding on. I've been there, I've done that. Preaching to the choir, Pastor. I've been there, honey, day after day, service after service, knowing that I could, but in the will of God, I couldn't. Knowing that I was able, but God, timing wasn't right. God said, hold tight, big boy. And I was rip-roaring, snorting, and ready to go. Then you get bitter, then you get angry, then you get little things, and then you say, what's the use? Ain't gonna happen anyway. Times are clicking on every day. I'm older. I'm 44 now. Seemingly my time has passed. We watched as younger couples would go and start pastoring. We watched as younger couples we know couldn't and shouldn't be pastoring. We watched as they did, and I tell my wife, I can do that. Shoot, honey, I can do it better than that. That's the carnal side of me. That's the real side. That's not the pastor side right now. I've got halo and harp right now. Can I tell you, you can come out of a fiery, hot prayer meeting playing the harp if you want to, honey, wearing a halo above you that'll big enough to light the room and give it enough time. And you'll be saying, God, have you forgotten about me? I feel broken and sore. I feel like my time has passed. God, just one more time, would you allow me to dance again? We find in our scripture text, he said, those bones, they rejoice. Those broken bones, that brokenness has learned how to dance again. What I once had is gone. May as well bury me. We'd really come to the place. We come to the place if it was put off again. We were supposed to take it. He said, we're going to wait a few more years. Supposed to take it a few more years. To the point, 5 years it went by and we're still saying, can we do it now? Can we do it now? Can we do it now? Can I be real? Can I bear my heart and my soul to you? Can we do it now? Because I don't want you to think that I don't have a low spot. Because, honey, you are sadly, sadly, sadly mistaken if you think I'm walking in the Spirit all the time and walking on cloud nine and angels is below the cloud just working overtime to keep us high and above all the problems. And I'm over here going, can we do it now? Can we do it now? Now, God, now, God, now, God, please, 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 God. Then you get discouraged. You heard the story of the man went up to the enemy, the devil, and he said, oh, I got a yard sale. This looks great. He said, man, I see bitterness, and I see this, and I said, he said, oh, that's so cheap. This is the best yard sale I've ever seen. He said, well, look, I can get two for the price of one. Bitterness. And he said, look over here, it's jealousy. $2.99. They said, oh, this is wonderful. This is exciting. Got over here. Every one of them was brand new, unused, shiny, not even out of the package. There was lust, and there was carnality, and there was pride, and there was ego, and there was all of these things, and man, oh man, oh man, I was loading up. Get down to the end of the row, and there sits an old, worn out, used up tool. Scratched, battered, and barred, scarred, and I looked, and the price was, it was astronomical. There was no way in the world you couldn't afford it. It was set so high, nobody could pay that price. And I said, what in the world is this? He said, that's mine for my own personal use. That's not for anybody else. He said, that one is mine. That's not, shouldn't be up there. He said, that is priced so high that no one could afford that one. And so the man said, I see. I mean, it's outrageous. What is that? He said, oh, that's discouragement. that was discouragement. He said, because really that's the only one I need. Because if I use discouragement and I can get them discouraged, bitterness comes in on its own. And if I can get them discouraged, they'll get separated from the pulpit on their own. And if I can get them discouraged, oh, depression comes in and gets on them. And a heaviness gets on them. If I can get them discouraged, anger will get in their heart. Bitterness will get in there. And they will turn their back on God. Lust and carnality will get in. I don't need anything but just discouragement. So the enemy tries to get you discouraged day in and day out. Your vessel has broken and has a crack in it. And he tries every day to get discouragement in the door. If he can get you discouraged, he can separate you from your dream. If he can get you discouraged, he can have you close your eyes to the vision and plug your ears to the call of God and turn your face away and wake up from the dream that God had for you. Then he'll get you bitter and angry and want to say, what's the use? I've failed. What's the use? My time has passed. What's the use? My vessel is broken. I feel misused and abused and taken advantage of. I read in the book of Jeremiah. I just wanted to put this one in before I go on any further. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 18. And I realize for sake of time, I want to very quickly navigate for the next few minutes because I want to allow, I'm asking you to respond to the preaching today. I'm asking you to stay in the Holy Ghost and flow with the Holy Ghost. And if God begins to move, and when God, not if, but when God begins to move, I want that momentum that we had a while ago to shift, and I want you to stay sensitive in the Holy Ghost. I don't care who you are, male or female, young or old, a saint or an ain't, whether you're in or out, who you are or where you are, your position and your name does not matter. You have had a low spot place in your life. You're either in one, fixing to go in one, or just coming out of one. Don't act like an angel, baby. You're either in one, just come out of one, open your eyes, you're fixing to go in one. It's not if the storm comes, it's when the storm comes. It's not if the break or the crack comes in your vessel, but it's when it happens. The book of Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 4 says this, and the vessel was made of clay. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Every vessel can be broken. I just want to remind you that you can dance on broken bones. You can dance on broken bones. Whether it's chipped or cracked by reason of circumstance or situation, every person will go through a broken area in their life. I don't care who they are. I don't care what your position in the church, pulpit, pew, platform, sound booth, usher, praise singer, pastor, pastor's wife, ministering family. It does not matter. Every one of us can identify with my preaching this afternoon. Every one of us have been there. Whether it's your health, whether it is your age, whether it is someone else's situation that's dragging you down. I promise you, health will get you down. Trust me. Your health goes under, it'll get you down. Death of a loved one, it'll get you down. Your finances will get you down. You can get in a fight with your wife and get down, get discouraged, get feeling once a vessel has been cracked and broken, it can never be used what it was designed for. It was designed to hold water for all. But eventually, if that break, that crack, that leak is there, it will begin to seep out. What we call these kind of saints, and I wrote it down, we call them leaky believers. These are leaky believers. These are the kind of believers that they are shouting the glory. Nobody can do me like he can. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. And they're shouting, dancing on the hills of glory. Stomp, 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 stomp on the devil. They come Monday. Where hath thou Holy Ghost gone? It passed me by. If they're asleep next to you, would you please wake them up? Because they don't want to miss this bus wreck. You heard that joke? He said he woke up the dude next to him. He was driving down the road, partners, training the guy. And he said, wake Bill up. He said, why are you going to wake Bill up? He said, because he ain't never seen a wreck like this happen right now. When I happen to look out and see their eyes are shut, I'm working too hard for you to sleep on me, Joker. Somebody slap them. You have my permission to slap the snot out of them. But if I'm, this is good preaching, and if you're asleep, you need the Holy Ghost. Wake the devil up. Because I want him to see us kick him out in a minute. Amen. Hallelujah. Leaky believers, like I was saying. In the prayer room on Wednesday, baby. Woo! Coming out. Preach it, preacher! Woo! That's it! And on Friday, where are they at? Down in the dumps. Where's Waldo? We call them leaky believers. Those are people that every time they get full, it all drains out, and it just never stays where God intended it to stay. Then we have what is called leaky friends, and I'm going to try to go quickly here. If they're already falling asleep on me, I'll tell you what, they won't have nobody wake by the end of the service. Bless their hearts. I'm still taking an offering before we're done. We call them leaky friends or leaky spouses. That they drain you. God help their hearts. You ever got around somebody so negative that you didn't even want to tell them nothing happy because you know they was going to shoot it full of holes? You didn't even want to smile around them because before you walked off, your smile would be upside down. You'd be frowning. You'd be depressed and want to know, what in the world's wrong with me? God forgive me. I know I've sinned. I know I have. I just feel it. What's wrong? I don't know. You just got near somebody and like a vacuum, like the black hole, baby. Come around and suck the joy right out of you. And you want to slap the heck right out of them. But you don't dare do it. This is a lucky, leaky spouse. You don't dare do it. If you're smart, you won't do it. Leaky friends. Always talking about what's going wrong instead of what's going right. Always telling you the bad on the situation instead of the good of the situation. Always focusing on what's going wrong instead of what's going on right in their life. Could be positive. I say, well, I know it takes a negative and a positive to get the engine started. I get all that. I know it takes a negative and a positive on the battery to start the car. I get all that. I know it takes two negatives to make a positive. I know math too. But I will tell you, there are leaky believers, leaky friends, leaky spouses. There are people that if you are not careful will suck the very joy right out of you. You need to take inventory of who your friends are. You need to back up and take inventory of who you are around and who you spend the most time with. And if they don't bring a little happiness in your life, you need to back up. And if they don't bring a little joy and a Holy Ghost in your life, you better reconsider some things. And honey, if you're the one that's leaking and draining everybody else, you need to plug that thing up. Get a little Holy Ghost so you can quit draining everybody else's Holy Ghost. I hate this. I hate that. I hate this. I hate that. My God, they need a little love in their life. Well, I was going to sing a song, but I ain't going to sing that one right there. Might need a little love. But then that would be a different channel. We're not going there. Remember, falling is accidental, but getting up is intentional. Nobody is exempt from what I'm preaching tonight. Nobody is exempt. Not a single one of us have found a time in their life that you remembered what it was like when you got the Holy Ghost. And it seems so long ago that you shouted. Can I tell you, I'm trying to convince you, you can dance again. And you can dance on broken bones again. And those bones can rejoice. And God can heal and fix that broken vessel. I know you don't think so. We're going to get there in just a few minutes. But I can tell you, whether it is a leaky believer or a leaky spouse, or you have found in your own life that there are areas and places that you wonder why you can't keep the victory from service to service. Ever felt like that? Ever asked yourself? I look at some of you. I know you. I look at you. You may even fool your husband or your wife, but I'm looking right at you. While I'm studying and praying, God's putting your pretty little face right up in front of mine. Saying, uh-huh. And the Lord ain't going that direction, so I'm not going to call your name out. I'm just praying. Somewhere in this service. 1, 2, 3, 4, or a whole row of you. Whoever you are, you need to let God get down on the inside of you. You need to let God begin to do some things in this service. You need to let God go in there. And I know it was humorous, but if you're that negative, 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 you need to take inventory of yourself. And what you partake of and what you spend your time on and what it is in you. If there is no balance, understand this. You have got to have balance. I preach it over and over and over. There can never be a win-win if you don't have balance. Somebody's losing. That's just two or three things in my life that I deal with. If it's a win-win, a win for God, a win for you, a win for the kingdom of God, if it's for the furtherment or the betterment of the kingdom of God, hey, that might be a good idea. We need to check into that. If it has balance, balance, balance. You can't have too much this way. And so, a person that is so negative is out of balance. They're out of balance. When there's balance, you're making contact. It's touching that. It's hitting that contact. That light, turn it off, there is no contact. Turn it on, and the switch touches, and all of a sudden you have contact, and electricity can flow. When there is no balance, there is no contact. Things need to be brought back into focus today, and brought back into balance today, and priorities need to get set right today. Because every one of you, every single one of you, have something happened, or you've done something of your own choosing, your own choice, or something that you had no control over. Life happens. Life happens. People, they do leave the church. We don't like it, but divorce does happen. We're not happy, but people, they do die. Does that mean you stop? No. Does that mean you quit? No. Does that mean you lay down and give up? No. But the reason people don't get back up from whatever the situation is that caused them to fall or caused them to be broken and that vessel to have a crack in it where everything leaks out. Remember the scripture in Micah 7 verse 8 says, "When I fall, I shall arise." They have not found the secret that David found in his life. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. But the reason people, they don't get back up when they fall is because they haven't learned David's secret. They have not learned how to dance on broken bones. They look at the scripture, and for sake of time, I'm not going to go there. I wanted to go into Ezekiel chapter 37, where he went to the valley of dry bones. Now that's where I wanted to go and spend some time at. And Ezekiel in chapter 37, we find that he comes to the valley of dry bones, and there is no, it was just devastation. He said, God, he asked him, he said, can these bones live? He said, God, you know. He said, can these bones live? He said, God, only you know. Only you know. And we have found ourselves in a service like today. God brought you on the journey to today. Whether this is your first time, second, or third, or you've been here a long time, you're here today for a reason. And it's like you're looking at that valley of broken bones. And you're saying, God, only you know. Only you know. Before it was said and done, the Bible said those bones begin to come together. You had to speak to the bones, and I'm speaking to you. You had to prophesy and talk to the bones like I'm preaching and talking to you, if you will. When he did, those bones begin to come together, and all of a sudden it came together, and you realize, you begin to get hope in a service like today, that you realize that God is beginning to put some things back together again in your life. But still there's no life. It seems dead. And the Bible said the Lord began to blow upon that situation. Before the service is over, I pray through the moving of the Holy Ghost, God begins to blow on those bones in your life. And what was once broken and dead begins to come back together, and God gives life again. And He blows upon it and allows His Spirit to fill you again. And you walk out of here dancing on broken bones. Amen. The problem is we never learn how to get back up again. And so what I'm going to tell you about for the next few minutes is a secret that David found out about. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. When you look back at David, and I'm going to jump forward in his life, when you find that he had finally figured it out, and finally he got tired of falling, and he got tired of everything in his life leaking out of him. A lot of it was his own doing. A lot of it was his own mistakes. A lot of it was poor choices in his life. Making bad decisions in his life. But yet David stumbled across a secret, and he figured this thing out. He figured out how to dance on broken bones, if you would. The Bible said when David went back to get the ark, I said went back because he failed the first time. He'd already lost it one time, and then he went back and got it and failed at that too. Always one failure after another, one stumble after another, one fall after another. And David, the Bible says, went back to get the ark. And the ark was at the house of Obed-Edom. And just like I told you a while ago, somebody else was getting the blessing. Somebody else was getting the strength. Somebody else was getting the joy. Somebody else was getting the blessings of God that should have been his and should have been the children of Israel. And yet we find that David, he hadn't figured it out yet, but now we find that David has went back to Obed-Edom's house, and he got the ark. And the Bible says, if you'll read it and look at it, it was 18 miles. 18 miles from point A to point B. And yet the Bible said that David stopped every six paces, and there made a sacrifice. There he stopped, and he began to dance. Was he there yet? No. It was worse than, are we there yet? Ever got in the car with your kids? Are we there yet, Daddy? Are we there yet? Daddy, how long before we gonna get there? Are we there yet? My kids used to do it. I used to do it. Jordan still does it. I've been on trips with some of you jokers. How long before we get there? I gotta go to the bathroom. Hold it. Fixing to be a broken vessel. Don't even go there. Let me go quickly here. 18 miles. 18 miles. I love you, y'all, so terrible. Stay with me. Devil is a lie. 18 miles, and every six paces, he stopped, and he began to give the Lord thanks. He began to give the Lord praise. Was he there yet? No, he's a long way from that. He just started. I'm going to kill this thing. Turn your cell phones off, people. I'm tired of them going off in church today. Tired of it interrupting me, stopping me. So here, 18 miles is a long way. That's a long journey, y'all. I've been living for God a long time. But some of us have lost our dance. Some of us have lost our shout. Some of you have lost how to rejoice. Some of you feel like it's forgotten you. It's passed you by. Some of you feel like you should be, but you're not. You could be, but you can't. You should be doing, but you don't. And you look at that long journey. 18 miles. And David said, there's no better time to start than right now. No better day than today. No better service than like today's service. And so David took six steps. When he did, he began to shout and rejoice to the Lord. And he began to rejoice unto God. And he made a sacrifice. He stopped and made a sacrifice. And then he went six steps further. And then he stopped and he made another sacrifice unto the Lord. And he began to give praise and thanks unto God. And he began to dance on broken bones. And he went six more paces. When he did, he stopped and he made a sacrifice unto the Lord. And he began to rejoice unto the Lord, and he began to dance on broken bones. You look back over the road, brethren. Look back over the road from Obed-Edom to the final destination. When you look back, it was a bloody road. A lot of bloodshed. It was a bloody road. We walk with God, and it's a long journey. Don't think it's an easy road. It's not. If you're expecting a free ride, you're going to miss it. If you're expecting to have a bloodless journey, you're not going to make it. Because on this journey, there's got to be a lot of sacrifice given. Don't think there won't be. If you don't have blood on your journey, honey, you're on the wrong path. You're not doing something right. You haven't learned how to dance on broken bones. When you should be rejoicing, you're not. Because you haven't learned to dance on broken bones. And what happened was, he would take six paces and he would give a sacrifice unto the Lord. And blood would be shed. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There was blood shed the day you came. You were buried in the precious name of Jesus. And that blood that was shed at Calvary is still flowing today. That journey, when you look back, when you get to heaven, it better be a bloody journey, honey. If it's a bloodless journey, you've stopped short of your destination. You've missed your destination. And so, we find, when he got to where he was going, that there had been a lot of blood shed problem was when he got to where he was going. I'm trying to go very quickly. It's 3:30. Problem was and is when we shout. I'm laying the bones bare, baby, the broken bones and all. You feel like I'm not dressed to shout. I'm too dignified to shout. I'm too old to shout. I'm too fat to fly and too chunky to be funky. And but some of you are so thin you can't spin. Ooh, yeah. Ah. Oh, Lord. And you think in you is where it's at, and when you look back, your Holy Ghost is flat. Oh, yeah. I'm tearing that up today. I got back issues, so do I. I've had shoulder surgery, so have I. I'm cut from yin to yang, so am I. And you think you're too dignified. I wish that crew up there to stop giggling. We get out here where I can't hear them. And we get too dignified to dance. Such a shuck, we get too dignified to dance. Too sophisticated to shout. I'm too professionally Pentecostal to let my guard down. When the truth is, you ain't learned how to dance on broken bones. Because you're not perfect, because your vessel has a crack in it, you ain't learned how to dance on broken bones. And so you use that as an excuse. And I'm limping through life. Can I tell you, David limped all the way home. He limped all the... That's one reason why when I get to heaven, right after meeting the Lord, I want to meet David. Because he was a man that knew how to repent. He was a man that learned how to dance on broken bones. He was a man that he never did get it all together. But he sure did try. He fluffed up. The Bible is full of examples. That's why God put them there. So you would identify with them. So you would apply them. I pray to God some of you are applying what I'm preaching today. I pray to God it's sinking in on some of you. I pray that, because what's going to happen now, a week from now, you're going to be down in the dumps again. A week from now, well, guess what? So am I. But I don't know how to dance on broken bones when I get there. When I do get there, I don't know how to shout until victory does come. I know how to dance all the way back to the King's house. Why? Because somebody told me I can dance on broken bones again. Nobody's perfect. God's just looking for passion and for you to press towards the mark. And when it got there, she looked down from the window above. His wife did. And said, "Who do you think you are? Look at you. I know you, old boy. And I know some of your failures. Naughty, naughty, naughty. I know who you are. Who do you think you are out there trying to dance, trying to be so spiritual, holier than thou? Look at you, trying to be so spiritual. Why, you so heavenly minded, you know, earthly good." And some of us can be so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. David did not let her bother him. David did not let the one close to him get to him. He did not let her criticism affect him. Be careful who you criticize. Let me just say that right there. Let me just interject this, if I may. Be careful who you criticize and critique and who you judge. Be careful what you say. Because she began to criticize someone that learned how to dance on broken bones, who had not got it all together, who was not perfect, who had failed in his life, who his vessel had great gaping holes and cracks. His bones might have been broken, but he learned how to dance before the Lord. He learned how to rejoice, and yet she began to criticize. Be careful who you criticize and how judgmental you are. how critical you are, because the Bible said she became barren and she was forgotten. She was put away in a room and forgotten. She was barren. Be careful who you criticize. Wonder who they are, what they're doing, that it does not lead you to a barren place in God. It leads you to a place where you are not fruitful. Thus saith the Lord. How about that? Be careful. Careful what you say and who you cut down and who you talk about and who you gossip about and who you call up on. Be careful who you say, well, I ain't going to tell you right now. Be careful, sir. Be careful, ma'am. You'll end up spiritually barren. You'll make it to heaven and the God will say, no, honey, you spiritually dehydrated. Your turn off was right back there. A little late in the journey to lose out with God. David did not care. That's why he was a man after God's own heart, because he learned how to dance on broken bones. The Bible says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Oh, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. Psalms 51 and 8 says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken, O Lord, that they may rejoice again. You see, they found out, and I'm trying to come to a close now. They found out that when you mix water and clay together, and you put it in the vessel. See, some vessels, when you break them, they're of no use. It doesn't really matter. I have a dozen more of them. It's just stuff. Trash it. Boom. Go down to Walmart and buy another one. A dozen for $6.99. Some vessels, no importance. But then there are some vessels that they would take and have them cast in silver and gold so they would have a mold of them. Because those vessels were valuable. Those vessels had meaning. Those vessels were like you and I in this place today. That though we are marred, the potter begins to make us again because we have value to the kingdom of God. There is potential that God intends to use before our shelf life expires, if you will. And so, some vessels may be of no value, but there are many vessels that are, and there are vessels here today that God intends to restore and put back together again. But if He can't give me back so-and-so, honey, there's some things you need to put behind you and go on and live again. But if it can't be back the way it used to be, there's some things will never be like they used to be. Well, if he can't, my grandma used to say after my grandfather died, well, if he can't give Butch back, God can't give you Butch back, grandma. And she died a bitter, bitter, bitter old lady. She was the one that wrote the book, Acres of Diamonds. She was the one that had tuberculosis and prayed for her own self and reached down and pulled out this long, thick, nasty thing that God gave. Just put it all together. She pulled it out. God healed her immediately of tuberculosis. She was the one that when my grandfather, she worked in a block ice house, the blocks of ice, they would come down the ramps. They were some 700 pounds apiece. They hit him and they burst him open. She nursed him, prayed for him. His guts were hanging out. The rest of his days he ate baby food and yogurt and bread and Vienna sausages and everything saturated in ranch dressing. We inherited it, my boys. They eat ice cream, put ranch on it. Grandma, why are you so bitter? Why are you so angry? Well, if he can give Butch back, I'll live again. Grandma, Butch ain't coming back. Grandma, come on. Come on, Grandma. was unhappy, discontent. How are we doing that? Did everything we could to make her happy. We moved out of rooms and let her live there trying to pacify Grandma. And she died lost. A bitter woman. This is the woman that was instrumental in leading my mom to the Lord and keeping her there. The one that taught Bishop Daniel in the lion's den and taught it with such intensity and fervency that he was afraid to go to bed because he was afraid the lions would get him. She taught Sunday school. She taught about Daniel and the 10 toes. And she taught about prophecy. And this is the woman that got bitter because she never learned how to dance on broken bones. Some things you got to put behind you and go on. It's just life, baby. It's just life. Some think you just count it up for loss. You go on to what God has for you. What happens is you never learn how to dance on broken bones. The vessel that God has and what God has for us, it always leaks out. I pray that when you get to heaven, you just got filled the night before, so maybe all of yours hadn't leaked out yet. But that's a gamble I'm not willing to take. Just maybe I'll pray through that Sunday night. What if he comes home Sunday morning? Calls us home on Saturday and you haven't got it to Sunday yet. What about it, 5 wise, 5 foolish? You let something drain your lamps. That's not good odds, 50%. 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 wise, when the Lord got there, were full of oil. They had the same problems the others did. They had the same distractions the others did. They were just determined to keep their lamps burning bright and full of oil. And the other ones went to sleep on the job. And they never took the time to let God renew them. And let God refill them. They never learned how to get their vessel repaired. And something had drained their lamp. When the bridegroom came, and here he comes. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Hey, can I borrow some oil? Because mine's all leaked out. Can I borrow some Holy Ghost? Because mine's leaked. Life has dealt me a rough blow. Can I, please, please? I'm sorry, I can't. You gotta go get your own. And so they ran, hearing the footsteps of the bridegroom coming in the background. And perhaps they finally got there, and perhaps they rounded the corner. And as they rounded the corner, they seen the door shutting. God shut the door in their life. When God shuts the door, nobody can ever open that door again. And they lost out. The Bible calls them foolish because they didn't have to. They did not have to lose out with God. They did not have to be classified as the 5 foolish. Wouldn't it be a shame to live for God all the way to the time the door closes? He even called them, they were still virgins. They were the cream of the crop. They were hand-picked. They were the top of their class. They was not dingbats. They was not knuckleheads. They were the hand-picked cream of the crop, if you will. And yet, 50% of them, divide yourself right here. What side are you on? Are you the foolish? Are you the wise? 50%, not good odds. 5, cream of the crop, top of their class, front runners, leaders, top percentage. And they let something drain their Holy Ghost out. They let a leak of their own doing and undoing and choosing, or of something else that happened in their life that they had no control over. They let it drain the Holy Ghost out of them. The Bible called them 5 foolish. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You see, they found that when they would take those vessels that were valuable, that they wanted to save, that they wanted to repair, and they would mix that clay with water, it would not bond. Mm-hmm. They would mix that clay with the water, and they would mix a gooey, ooey, gooey mess together, and they would take that clay that that potter had made, and they would press it into the cracker or the wound or the offense or the damage that had been done to their life, and they would press it in, but because that vessel had already been made, the water and the clay would not bond. There was no bonding agent there, and nothing would bind them and connect them to the vessel. And when it hardened, it would fall back out, and the vessel would leak once again. We come to church, we come to service, and we clap our hands, and we go back to our seats. Wednesday, we come, we clap our hands, we go back. Sunday, we come, we clap our hands, we do the hucklebuck, we go back. We mix clay and water. Wednesday, we mix clay and water. Sunday, we mix clay and water. And then we try to press it into the vessel. And when it dries on Monday, it leaks out again. Because what was there? There was something that did not connect and bond with the vessel. They found that in working with the clay and working with the broken vessel, and they would take that mixture of water and clay, they found that if they took a tick-like insect called Vesuvius or something like that, if I remember correctly, they would take it. It's like a tick that they found on bulls and goats, and they would take that tick that sucked the blood out of those animals, and they would take that animal, that tick, and they would crush it. They would mash it until the blood came out of it. And they would take that blood and they would take the blood. If you would, come to the answer. I just want you to stand with me. They would take that blood and they would let that blood drip into that clay dust. And they would mix that blood from that little insect, that little pest, if you would. They would crush it. Oh, God. They would break it and allow that blood to be shed. And when that blood would drip, they would drip it into that clay and that dust and that water, and they would mix and make a blood paste. They would take that very blood paste with that clay and water, and they would mix it together, and they would begin to press that blood and that clay. See, we represent that clay from the very dust of the earth He made us. And that same dust, He would take that blood and let it drip down into it, and He would mix it. And when they pressed it into the vessel, into the crack in the vessel, Brother Rogers, they found that when the blood dried, it created a bond and a connection, and it bound itself to the vessel. And it was the connection. It was the go-between. It was the advocate. It was the blood that was shed, and it was mixed into that crack, if you will. And when it dried, it sealed that vessel, and it was made again anew. I think some of you are getting where I'm going. I think some of you see where I'm headed. Calvary. They took Him and they put Him on the cross. They drove big nails and spikes through His hands and drove them through His feet They took the crown of thorns and shoved it into his head, and they took and beat him on the back, and they ripped his body to shreds, and they took a spear and thrust it through his side, and he shed tears and sweat until great drops of blood. And that blood ran down that cross. And that blood made its way down that old